Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Today's program is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. You can support the show on a one-time basis at support.greatdetectives.net. And I want to thank Bishop Andrew for doing that. Thank you so much for your support. You can also use the Zelle app, send to box13 at greatdetectives.net or by mail to Adam Graham, P.O. Box 15913, Boise, Idaho, 83715. You can also become one of our ongoing Patreon supporters for as little as $2 per month at patreon.greatdetectives.net. Now it's time for today's episode of Rocky Jordan. The original air date is July the 11th, 1951, and this one is The Janakos Affair.
Now starring George Raft, we bring you a world of adventure with Rocky Jordan.
I'm Rocky Jordan. I run the Cafe Tambourine in Cairo. You've heard the old saying, everything comes to him who waits. I remember one time, if I awaited then, I'd be waiting still. Real still. Dead.
The Cafe Tambourine. Crowded with tourists, camel drivers, women, cheats, forgotten men down on their luck, the lonely and the lost. For this is Cairo, gateway to the ancient East, where modern adventure and intrigue unfold against a backdrop of antiquity. Tonight's partially transcribed Rocky Jordan story, The Janakos Affair.
Hi, I'm Chris, Rocky Jordan's barkeep. Been working for him for years now. I guess I know the Rock better than anyone. I know he's so close-mouthed you'd never find out what went on around here if I wasn't such a yakker. But you know, it isn't always Rocky who plays it shy with the words. I'm thinking of the time Rocky was beating his brains out trying to get someone else to open up. Yeah, I remember how that one began. Night, all the Kyrenes asleep. Rocky, too, in his apartment over the tambourine. And all of a sudden, it sounded like the front door was going to cave in.
Mr. Chalton, you would please open the door.
It was one of those things from under a stone that passes for a man. Lieutenant Greco, Cairo Police.
In the name of authority, you will open the door.
What's going on, Greco?
Lieutenant Greco to you. I am here on official business, Mr. Jordan. You will dress and come with me.
What? 4 o'clock in the morning?
I said you will dress and come with me. That is a command.
Greco, what's this all about?
I am not at liberty to say, but I warn you, Mr. Jordan. I have the authority to enter your establishment and take you by force, if necessary. And as you know, I would like nothing better. Well?
Okay, Power. You're round. But this better be good. Look, Sam, I don't like this. I don't like being hustled out of bed in the middle of the night by that cop. And I use the word loosely.
I am fully aware of what has happened to you, Jordan. Jordan, I am tired. I am worried. Do not test my patience.
Well, I've got a right to know what's going on.
We will not argue the point. Let us simply say I am not at liberty to say.
Sounds like you and Greco had a rehearsal.
Excellency.
So, this is Mr. Jordan.
Jordan, may I present His Excellency, Hassan Bey, of a special government service.
How do you do?
You have been in Cairo a number of years. Restaurateur, American citizen, you run the Cafe Tambourine.
That's no secret.
You have dealings with the Janakos Produce Company.
I get my fruits and vegetables from them.
When did you receive your last delivery?
This morning, before I closed up.
What time this morning?
How should I know what time? I don't keep a log on the exact time I get a delivery.
I see.
Now, how about you opening up and telling me what this is all about?
Take him, Captain.
This way, Jordan.
Well, by then, the Rock was as mad as a rooster with laryngitis. Sabaya waltzed him into the next room, and things got worse. There were a dozen more people in there, all standing in line with their sleeves rolled up. And at the head of the line, a medico was busy with a hypo in his hand.
What is this, Sam?
Get in line, Jordan, and roll up your sleeve.
Now, wait a minute. If you think
I... Jordan, you will do as I say.
Well, if some joker's going to stick a needle in my arm, I want to know why.
You will, Jordan, in time. For the moment, do as I say.
All right, Sam. If that's the way you want it.
When you have finished here, you may go home.
Thanks. Sure you haven't forgotten anything.
Though, as a matter of fact, Jordan, there is one more thing. Your Cafe Tambourine is to be closed until further notice.
Rocky was really steaming when he left police headquarters. He ankled across the street to our Moon's coffee house, found a good crowd there, and more than one guy rubbing his arm. He had a call to make, but the phone was occupied, so he sat down at the table and ordered a cup of Java. And then the doll eased in.
I hope you do not mind if I sit here. All the other places are taken.
No, I don't mind.
Thank you.
You get hauled down to headquarters, too?
Headquarters? I do not understand.
Skip it. I thought you were one of our little group. Everybody else here seems to be.
I usually stop here on my way home from work. Oh, such a crowd at this late hour. Has something happened?
Yeah, something has.
You seem angry.
I've got reason to be.
Tell me about it.
It would bore you.
I see. Oh, of course. Now I know.
Now you know what?
There, I have seen you before. The Cafe Tambourine. You're Rocky Jordan. My name is Zelda. Zelda Volma.
Zelda. Yeah, it fits.
Why do you keep looking toward the front door?
I'm just sweating out that buster yakking on the phone. I've got a call to make.
If it's urgent, perhaps I can be of some assistance. I live not far from here, and I have a telephone.
Thanks for the offer. But the buster looks like he's ready to hang up. Excuse me.
American Embassy, McIntyre.
Mac, this is Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
Listen,
I know. You get hauled out of bed in the middle of the night, get a shot in the arm, and your cafe gets padlocked until further notice. Yeah, we know all about it.
Well, what are you going to do about it?
Not a thing. We're in complete agreement with the Cairo police. Night.
That did not take long. Oh, you are leaving.
That's right.
So am I. My apartment is just down the street, at the Nehru House.
And I have a date at the other end of town. Looks like we're headed in opposite directions.
It needn't always be that way, Mr. Jordan.
I'll file it, baby.
Yeah, what? Oh, hello, Jordan.
Thought maybe you'd be asleep, Giannakos.
Asleep? Asleep? Who can sleep? Come on in.
I just got back from police headquarters. They had a few questions to ask me. Some of them had to do with the Giannakos Produce Company.
You too, huh? Sit down, Jordan, sit down.
Well, Giannakos, what's it about?
Look, I don't know any more about it than you do. They closed up your place? Okay, so they closed up mine, too. They put a padlock on my warehouse, my trucks, everything.
Sure, they didn't tell you why?
I couldn't get anything out of them. Just a shot in the arm. Look, I got a lump there already.
You're not the only one. Stop beefing.
Rocky, listen. What is this shot business? What's the matter? I got something that's horrible? I'm a menace to society?
Don't ask me.
Why did they give me that needle? Why didn't they tell us something? Rocky, what is all this hocus pocus? Why did...
What's the matter, Giannakos?
Giannakos' face suddenly turned white and his jaw dropped. He was staring over Rocky's shoulder. And as Rock started to turn around, his eyes swept the mirror on the wall and he caught a glimpse of a figure moving in behind him, and then something crashed in behind Rocky's ear. Hard. When Rocky came to, he was still sitting in the chair. But the room around him looked like it had been hit by a blockbuster. And standing in the middle of it all was Captain Sam Sabaya.
Are you all right, Jordan?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so, Sam.
What happened here?
You tell me. I was just sitting here talking to Giannakos when somebody slugged me.
Who did it?
I don't know. I only caught a glimpse of the guy in the mirror.
But you did see him.
Yeah. You know, Sam, there was something familiar about the guy. Oh, my head. Oh, I'm sure I've seen him someplace before, but I can't think where. Wait a minute. Giannakos was sitting across from me. He saw me.
Giannakos is dead.
Giannakos dead?
We found him in the bedroom. He had been shot.
Captain Sabaya! Captain Sabaya!
What is it, Lieutenant?
We have searched everywhere. The apartment, the warehouse. There is no sign of a small black bag.
I was afraid of that.
The killer must have found it. Taken it with him.
Yes, yes, yes.
What's all this about a black bag?
Never mind, Jordan. Come along.
Where are we going?
To police headquarters. I want you to look over some photographs. Well, Jordan?
No go, Sam. I've been over these mugs twice already. The killer isn't here.
We must have your cooperation, Mr. Jordan. You are the only one who knows what this killer looks like.
That's right. Now I'm in the driver's seat, Hassan. And if you expect any more cooperation out of me, maybe you better start telling me what this is all about.
Your Excellency, perhaps it would be wise...
Very well. Tell him, Captain.
Jordan, there was a robbery at the University Hospital last night. Someone was after a bag containing a large supply of narcotics.
The black bag you've been looking for?
We have established that the man who took the bag left in one of Giannakos' trucks, but he was not one of Giannakos' drivers. We have checked that, and the truck was returned.
All right, Sam. So this guy copped a bag of narcotics. That's happened before. You didn't carry on this way.
Jordan, patience. We believe now that Giannakos was involved in the robbery, that he was the recipient of the stolen bag, and that the killer took it from him, believing it contained narcotics.
Believing? But you said it was narcotics.
It was supposed to be narcotics. The original thief made a mistake. He took the wrong bag. That is why we have had to operate with such secrecy. That is why you and the others who had some contact with Giannakos' truck were given those shots.
What was in that little black bag, Sam?
A rack of test tubes containing deadly germ culture. Pneumonic plague. So don't you see, Jordan? The killer opens the bag. It does not contain what he thinks. He throws the bag away. Where? In some dark alley? A storm drain? The river? Jordan, we must find that bag.
Yeah, because if you don't, you're liable to have the biggest epidemic in history on your hands.
Thousands and thousands of lives. A whole city wiped out, Mr. Jordan. We can't prevent that, but we must move quickly.
Well, the quickest way to find the bag is to find the killer first.
Exactly. And you are the one man who knows what he looks like.
What are you driving at, Hassan?
If we were to let the word spread quietly that you, and you alone, knew what the killer looked like, the killer would learn of this. And might he not come out into the open to try to silence you?
Yeah, he probably would. I get it. You're asking me to set up myself as bait. Wait around for the killer to take a crack at me so you can nail him. That's it, isn't it?
Frankly, yes.
We know we have not the right to ask you to expose yourself to a murderer's bullet.
Oh, save it, Sam. All right. You've got yourself a pigeon.
You are listening to tonight's adventure with Rocky Jordan, starring Mr. George Raft. The only show in radio where the audience writes the scripts. That's the Wednesday night CBS favorite, Dr. Christian, starring Gene Herschold. The Devil's Workshop is the title of tonight's Dr. Christian program. In it, Gene Herschold, as the kindly physician of River's End, combines his skill as a doctor with extraordinary instincts about human behavior to bring about a surprise conclusion to a very strange story. Remember, your next program over most of these same CBS stations. It's Gene Herschold as Dr. Christian. Now we take you back to Cairo and tonight's Rocky Jordan story, The Giannakos Affair.
Well, they hooked Rocky on the end of a line to bait the guy who did in Giannakos and waltzed off with a little black bag. Some of Sabaya's men dropped a few choice words in the Cairo dens, and the underworld was to do the rest. The boss came back to the tambourine to wait for the play, feeling a little bit like a goldfish in a shark pond. Meanwhile, more of Sabaya's men, rigged out in native dress, took up stations along the street. Sabaya himself stayed at headquarters. Everything was set. A few long hours later, it was noon, and nothing happened except the boss used up a lot of cigarettes. A year went by, and it was 4 o'clock, and then 5, no play. Then a little after 7, the phone began to jump.
Cafe Tambourine.
Rocky Jordan?
That's right.
Hey, who is it, Rocky?
Shh. Rocky, this is Zelda. Remember the girl you met in the coffee shop last night?
I remember.
Rocky, I must see you. I must see you right away.
What for?
I cannot tell you on the phone, but it is important. Please, Rocky, meet me. Joseph's well in the Citadel.
No. The Drake Bazaar. East End.
All right. 5 minutes.
15.
All right, Rocky. All right. Don't fail me, please.
Zelda Valma. She wants me to meet her.
She in on it?
Could be. There's one way to find out.
Hey, Rocky, listen. That killer could be using her to get you out in the open.
I can't sweat this thing out forever. I want to get it over with. I'll be all right. Sam's men will tail me. Ring Sabaya. Tell him what's up.
Sure, Rock. Good luck.
I watched the boss slip out into the night and Sam's men move after him. A block or so from Turk Bazaar, Rocky stepped into a hallway and waited. A few minutes later, Zelda went by, carrying a grim look. She was alone. That was how the Rock wanted it. He let her go by and walked down the block a ways, and then he stepped out and called.
Zelda!
The dame pivoted, saw him, and he moved up the street after her. Only crossing that small moolak alley, he ran into trouble.
Halt, Jordan. Halt!
Where are you?
In the dark of the alley. You cannot see me, but I hold the gun. Take my word. Now, call Zelda. Tell her to come here. Call!
Zelda! Over here.
Good. I know you're being watched by the police. Give them reason to believe all is well. Light a cigarette. Relax. Good.
Is everything all right, Leon?
Fine. Talk to him, Zelda. Let us not waste any more time.
You will not be injured if you cooperate.
I've heard that before.
Zelda, ask him.
Quiet, Leon. Let me do this.
You're wasting time. We do not have all night.
Sounds like you two are married.
Rocky, you must answer a question for us. A very important question. What disease are the police giving shots for?
Why do you want to know?
We want to know. Isn't that enough?
The police have a free shot for anyone who might have come in contact with the germs.
For everyone they know who might have come in contact with the germs. Some they do not know.
You and Leon?
Yes.
I'll make a deal with you. Answer my questions, and I'll tell you how to get an answer to yours.
Well, Leon...
Of course, what does it matter now?
Okay. Who is this Leon character? Is he the one who killed Giannakos?
No.
Bring him out of the shadows so I can see for myself. All right. You pass on that. Now tell me, how did you two come in contact with the germs?
Leon was the one who drove the truck and stole the bag for Giannakos.
And you?
I worked the switchboard at the hospital. I was the inside contact. I set up the robbery with Giannakos. As you know, we were supposed to steal narcotics. Giannakos had a buyer. We were supposed to get rich.
Instead, all you're going to get is a high fever. Where did you touch the stuff?
At Giannakos' house after the robbery. Before we knew it was so deadly. Rocky, what is it? Cholera? Typhus? What?
Who killed Giannakos? Where's the black bag now?
We do not know.
Who was Giannakos' buyer?
We do not know.
Well, that is true, Jordan. She had told you everything we know. Now you must tell us the name of the disease.
I said I'd tell you how to get an answer to your question. And I will. Go to the police and tell them what you just told me.
What?
Cheat! You have cheated us!
I didn't cheat you. I'm doing you a favor.
You will die with your favors?
Leon, don't shoot. That will not get us what we want.
The lady's so right. That native selling water up the street is actually a cop. He'll give you what you want.
But Rocky, if we tell the police what we told you, it means jail.
Yeah. But not telling them means the morgue. Take your pick. So long.
Rocky turned on the gun and walked off. He could hear Zelda and Leon scrapping, but he didn't wait to find out what they decided. He signaled the water cellar, and the cops did the rest. Well, the Volma floozy and Leon the weasel were buttoned up, but the killer and the little black bag were still among the missing. The Rock came back to the tambourine, filled me in, and went up to his apartment. But when he stepped inside, he found out he had company.
Come in, Jordan. Cut the door.
It was a beanpole with a voice, and he was sporting a nervous 38.
Shut the door, I said. Quickly. Now lock it.
What piece of woodwork did you come out of?
The police followed you when you left. I came up the fire escape. I've been waiting for you ever since.
Well, Harold Bannister. Giannaco's killer. Yeah, now I know you.
Now you know me? Are you saying that you didn't know me before?
That's right. Just a little idea to get you out in the open.
Oh, you idiot, you stupid meddler. Before this, I had no quarrel with you. You needn't have had to die. Now I must kill you.
And of course you don't want to.
Of course I don't. Killing isn't my business.
Just peddling narcotics. Why did you kill Giannakos?
Because he tried to double-cross me. He took my money. And then he tried to say that he didn't get the narcotics. He tried to tell me...
Hey, Rocky.
Who's that?
My bartender, Chris. You'll have to be let in. He knows I'm up here.
All right. I'll be in the closet. The door will be partially open. Now, don't make me kill him, too.
Hey, Rock. Anything wrong?
No, Chris.
All right. Let him in.
Oh, had me worried for a minute. Here, I brought you some coffee and sandwiches. You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Well, put the tray down on the table over there.
Yeah, sure thing, Rock. You want anything else, Rock?
No, thanks.
Well, I'll get back downstairs.
Slug him, Chris!
Yes! Hey, was lucky I caught you not, Rocky.
Nice work, Chris. Let's get a look at him. Hey, you really put out his fuse.
I guess I did hit him kind of hard.
Well, now it shouldn't be long before we turn up that black bag. Ring Sabaya. He'll want to talk to this boy down at headquarters. Sam, you've been in there with Bannister for 2 hours.
Yes, yes, I know.
Well, what's the matter? Won't he open up?
Oh, he confessed to the murder of Giannakos readily enough.
What about the little black bag?
Well, he does not know where it is, Jordan.
He's lying, Sam.
No, no, I'm certain he's not.
Well, make him a deal. If he tells you where the bag is, you'll see to it that he gets off with life instead of an execution.
I've already tried that, Jordan. He insists he does not know where the bag is, that he did not find it when he searched Giannakos' apartment.
Oh, fine. Then Giannakos must have gotten rid of it.
Yes, I'm afraid so. But where could Giannakos have hidden it, Jordan? Where?
Look, he must have gotten rid of it between the time Zelda left his apartment and the time I got there. 1.5 hour, Sam.
Yes, yes.
Well, he couldn't have gone very far. Well, if you were to search the area around Giannakos...
We have already done that, Jordan. We found nothing.
But it's got to be around there somewhere, Sam.
Well, it isn't. Lieutenant Greco and his men searched the area thoroughly. The empty lot, the garbage heaps, the storm drain, the railroad yards. Everywhere. Everywhere.
Standing there, staring out the window isn't going to help find it, Sam.
Look. Look out there, Joe. Cairo. My city sleeps unaware of the danger that threatens to destroy it. Unaware that death will come with the dawn. Come, Jordan, I will drive you back to your cafe.
Thanks, just the same. I'll walk back.
As you wish. Good night.
Good night, Sam.
Oh, When Rocky left police headquarters, he didn't head for the tambourine. He just started walking. Just walking and thinking hard. And then suddenly he realized he was back in Janaco's neighborhood again. He stopped by the railroad yards, lit a cigarette, watched the switch engine batting some empty boxcars back and forth. And that's when it happened. The idea hit him with the wallop of a Sunday punch, and he took off for the switch tower on the double.
Questions, questions. I have told the police all I know, Effendi.
Let's run through them again. You said there was only one freight train in the yard here early this morning.
Yes, yes. And that is it there on the far track. The police have already searched it an hour ago. They did not find the bag.
Is that all of the train?
All of it, Effendi.
Were any of the cars unhooked? Sent down the line before the police searched the train?
Yes. Several empty cars were removed this afternoon.
Where are they now?
About a mile that way on a side track.
Thanks, Buster. That's all I wanted to know.
Rocky put in a fast call to Captain Sabaya and then headed down the tracks on the run. He found the empty boxcars, all right. Real empty. The bag wasn't around. And then something started buzzing in Rocky's head. He was pretty sure the police hadn't told anyone what they were looking for. And yet, the gent in the switch tower had mentioned the little black bag. So Rocky raced back to the tower. But before he got there, he saw the gent running across the tracks with the bag under his arm. The rock was closing the gap between them by the time they reached the St. George Bridge. And then the guy jumped up on the rail and stood there holding the bag over the river.
Stay back! Stay back or I will drop it!
Now, take it easy, Buster. Nobody's going to hurt you. I just want that bag.
Yes, so you can turn me over to the police. No, Effendi. No one will know I found the bag. I have only to drop it in the river. It will be your word against mine.
You won't get in trouble if you do as I tell you.
Trouble? Never in my life have I been in trouble. I do not know why I took this cursed bag.
You found it after the police left, in the boxcars down the line.
Yes, yes.
The police forgot to ask you about them, didn't they?
Stop. Do not come closer, or the bag and the jewels go into the river.
Jewels? You better take a look in that bag, Buster. No jewels. No money. Nothing but death.
Death?
Go ahead. Take a look. Only be careful. Well, are you satisfied?
I do not understand. Nothing but bottles.
And enough germs to wipe out a whole city.
Oh.
And whether you like it or not, you're going to have to go to the police. Get yourself a shot in the arm, or you're liable to be dead by morning.
You are trying to trick me.
Don't be a sucker. I'm giving it to you straight. Now, come on. Get down from there and give me that bag. Come on.
Here. Take it. Take this cursed bag.
That's better.
Nice work, Jordan.
Sam.
I was watching from the shadows close by. I did not dare shoot. I could do nothing. Here, let me have the bag.
Here you are.
Yes. Oh. Jordan, it is all here. At last.
Captain! Captain Sabaya!
Here comes Greco.
Captain, it has just occurred to me that the black bag may be... What is that you have, Captain?
A little black bag. You were supposed to have found it. You were supposed to have searched this entire town. Instead, it was Jordan who found it.
Mr. Jordan found it.
I'm sorry, Greco.
Lieutenant Greco.
Correction. Sergeant Greco.
The star of our show, Mr. George Raft, will return in just a moment. Tomorrow night's treats over most of these same CBS stations. Don't miss Arnold Moss in the Hard Luck story on the FBI in Peace and War. Mr. Keene, tracer of lost persons, solving the poison pen murder case. And another hard-hitting crime story on the lineup. Yes, three CBS mysteries in a row, Thursday nights. Tomorrow followed by Lee Tracy as newspaperman Hildy Johnson in the comedy hit The Front Page on Broadway Playhouse. Now here again is the star of our show, Mr. George Raft.
Thank you for being with us tonight. The Cafe Tambourine will be open next week, same time. I'll be looking forward to seeing you. Until then, Saida.
George Raft stars as Rocky Jordan, Larry Dobkin as Chris, and Jay Novello as Sam Sabaya. Lou Krugman as Greco. Also in tonight's cast were Mary Shipp, Byron Kane, Ben Wright, Paul Frees, and Fritz Fell. Rocky Jordan is written by Larry Roman and Adrian Jandot, with original music composed and conducted by Richard Arant. Our producer-director is Cliff Howell. Bob Lamond speaking. This partially transcribed program came to you over CBS, the Stars address, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Welcome back. Well, I'm not going to go into the litany of everything I said, you know, last week. Essentially, most of those concerns remain, but focus on just the positives of this episode. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I think this is, you know, one of those scripts where, despite the other things in terms of narration and whatever, it's still a really good setup, and I thought pretty well realized. Sam Sabaya, as played by Jay Novello, continues to be really fun. I thought his concern for the city, that little quiet scene, was a really great scene for Sam. Even though he doesn't have the same chemistry as when Jack Moyles was in the role. And we have Sergeant Greco demoted to lieutenant, and this raises a couple of questions. Why was there this promotion to lieutenant? We don't actually have the first episode of the summer series. Did something happen in the summer series to warrant that promotion? And then, you know, taken away, this is the third episode of the summer series, just kind of taken away very quickly, or was this something that was done off radio? Also, I wonder, there was Rocky Jordan through a man named Jordan, and I'm wondering if, you know, because my understanding of a man named Jordan had been that had all been based in Istanbul, but if it hadn't had been, maybe this is a recycled script or scenario from that series where Jordan's success and Greco's incompetency ultimately leads to his demotion, which if that had happened before the start of the 1948 radio series, it would have explained the degree of animosity between Greco and Jordan pretty well. But at any rate, without knowing the continuity, we can't be entirely sure. Well, now we turn to listener comments and feedback now. And we start with Joan, who writes, Adam, after listening to Moyles all this time, George Raft doesn't stand a chance. He's no comparison to Moyles, as Moyles was the best. I hope there are not many episodes with George Raft. He is a good actor and all, but just not suited for this role. Well, Joan, we actually only have two more episodes left. And then regarding the episode of The Man from Damascus, Bill writes, I thought from the description that I'd heard this one before, and within a couple of minutes, I recognize it. Thanks for confirming it. It had been a Moyles episode. I agree with you about how they use Chris to tell the story. I think it works better when we get the story as it happens rather than after the fact. Thanks. And Eric offered some thoughts. It's possible they thought the show needed a bit of a refresh, but man, this just doesn't work for me. Rocky was such a distinct character and voice. He's one of the few old-time radio detectives you can't swap out with a new actor and still have the same feel. Rusty writes, Raft is awful. John comments over on the website at greatdetectives.net. writing in. I have to be honest and say that based on this one episode, I'm not sure what to make of this version of Rocky Jordan. The choice of George Raff to play Rocky is interesting, but he comes off somewhat menacing as opposed to Jack Moyle's interpretation of Rocky. The line at the beginning about meeting Chris and having a drink to remember almost comes off as a veiled threat. Even stranger, however, was the choice to take Rocky's expository monologues and give them to Chris, who now acts in the role of an omniscient narrator. It's a somewhat jarring experience. Was Raff being paid by the word or something? I'm curious to see if things get better over the course of the run. Well, thanks for the comment, John. If I were to speculate on the reason for giving this to Chris, and you're right, it's jarring, you know, particularly in an episode like this, you know, which, you know, opens with Chris saying, "And I remember," and then goes ahead and talks about events that he did not actually personally witness. It's a really odd thing. If I could speculate as to one potential reason that this was done, it may be because Raft was not a regular radio actor. He did his guest spots on a few comedy shows. He did the Lux Radio Theater, but he was really a screen actor. So by having Tony Barrett, who was a veteran of so many radio programs, we've heard him, you know, on, he really kind of balances things out. He's the experienced radio guy. He can handle narration. But it does create that narrative problem. I don't know if they would have thought of it as much of a problem, in the 1950s. It definitely does stick out to us today because we, you know, don't tend to like stories to, be told to us. When it comes to, you know, episodic drama, we really want to experience it. And that's hard to do when someone else is telling you everything that happens and telling you what to think about it, who wasn't part of the events themselves. Well, I do want to go ahead and thank our Patreon supporter of the day. I want to thank Cheryl Lee. Cheryl Lee has been one of our Patreon supporters since March 2018, currently supporting us at the Master Detective level of $15 or more per month. Thanks so much for your support. That's all for now. Join us back here tomorrow for Boston Blackie. Next Wednesday, another episode of Rocky Jordan. In the meantime, send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.